This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
Kind of catapult the propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny are their reward.
Whether you're online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello and welcome to Open Eyes. So today is February 27th, Friday, and boy oh boy, there have been a lot of things going on over the past few days, hasn't there? And I'm going to get into the net neutrality issue after I come back from the break, because it's going to be something kind of long. Boy, there really has been a lot of things happening. And I know that a lot of people are trying to talk about all of the issues that are going on, and I want to give you my take on them. But, you know, we're coming into a really dangerous time period right now. We're coming into a time period where, well, we have the potential for things to radically change in a massive way, and we really need to pay attention. We really need to not only pay attention, but we need to stand up for our rights. We need to stand up for what is right, because not only us are impacted, but our children are and their children are. You know, this is a horrible situation that we're coming into, and I'm just... I hope people are listening. I hope people are looking and seeing what is happening, because, boy, it really is a game changer. I do have some news that I want to bring you. By the way, tonight's topic otherwise is going to be living simply, and hopefully with all of the things that are going on, you guys can pick up some information from me about ways to change the way that you're doing things so that you don't have to be as reliant upon the government to come help you. You don't have to be reliant on the powers that be to take care of you. If you know how to take care of yourself and how to act wisely, essentially. So tonight's topics mainly are going to be about living simply and maybe getting off of the debt system a little bit. And we'll come into that as the show progresses. But I do have some news for you guys that I wanted to bring to your attention, besides the net neutrality stuff, which, like I said, I will get into after the break. This story really made me shake my head, because I've seen this kind of thing occur quite a few times over the past few years, and it really brings to light the ridiculousness that some people are living under. And it really confuses me how people can think these types of things. So let me read the article for you here. There's a reason people joke about babies being evil. Those little bundles of joy are capable of quite foul things, like poking you in the retina with their tiny talons of doom, or unleashing a geyser of pee right into your unsuspecting face. Side note, why hasn't anyone developed goalie-style protective masks for new parents? It seems like a great untapped market, right? But we laugh about these misdeeds because we know that babies aren't actively trying to hurt us. They're not nefarious creatures, they're just babies. Which is why a note that apparently came from a daycare provider is rubbing lots of moms the wrong way. The note was posted to a Facebook Working Moms group, and its contents include a mention that a 9-month-old girl was playing roughly and aggressively with the other babies. The note also said that the infant, named Samantha, was told, "It's not okay to hurt her friends." Yet, shocker, the girl was smiling and going right back to it. The note also suggested that the girl's parents help us out by maybe discouraging her to not play roughly. So this is a daycare provider, right? This is supposed to be somebody that has experience with children. At least you would hope so, correct? And yet this person or this daycare center apparently doesn't realize that babies act that way. They don't realize that babies can get a little aggressive. I've had three kids. I've raised three kids from being babies. I've raised other kids from being babies, not just my own. But, you know, I've got a lot of experience when it comes to babies. And quite frankly, they can be evil little things, I'm telling you. It's just their way. It's just what happens. They get especially towards that age, you know, the 6 to 9 to 10 months old, they start exploring cause and effect. You know, this happens, or I do this, and so this is the result. And they're just basically expanding their wings a little bit, so to speak, and trying to learn how the world works. They don't do it intentionally. They don't do it because they're mean. They just do it because they don't know any better. So that's what they do. And to think that this person, this daycare provider, doesn't realize that apparently is really, it's facepalm worthy. It really is. It just is confusing to me how someone can work with kids and not know this. But this is an example of some of the stupidity that is going on, and part of the reason why we're dealing with a situation that we are right now with, let's say, the internet and all the other stuff that goes along with it, and all the other stuff that goes with what we talk about on our shows to try to get people to wake up and to realize, hey, there's a problem going on here. Well, when you're dealing with people that don't even realize that babies sometimes do this kind of thing, and they freak out enough about it that they write parents about it and, oh, we're concerned that she's acting aggressively. Come on. Let's think with some reason here. Let's actually think a little bit logically here, or have a bit of knowledge, especially if you're dealing with the subject yourself because you're taking care of them in a daycare situation. I mean, what's next? Are they going to put the 9-month-old baby through psychological evaluations and determine whether or not she needs to be put on Ritalin or not? I wouldn't be surprised. It would not shock me. I mean, what's coming up in the future? Are we going to be talking, you know, baby straight jackets or something? That's what they're leading to, apparently, with all of this. What a ridiculous situation. It, like I said, it's facepalm worthy. It really is. It just is the height of ridiculousness. I had to bring that one to you guys because, boy, I ran across that and I just, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, but this is the kind of mentality that we're dealing with. Okay, so global warming, global cooling, global blah, 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 climate change has been a big part of the news lately, especially because of the current snowmageddon that we've got going on in the United States. I mentioned this in a previous episode. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not, but if you go to like startpage.com and you do a search for North American satellite image 2015, you guys will see the latest satellite imagery that shows just how much snow is currently laying on the United States. And it's a massive amount. I don't remember seeing it quite this bad in a long time. Well, so people are trying to call, oh, well, this is climate change and man-made and blah, blah, blah. This is a result of global warming, which is really confusing. But anyway, so I ran across this article and I thought I'd bring it to you guys because it does tie into what we're seeing happening right now with the weather. The sun is currently experiencing its weakest solar cycle in over a century, according to scientists. The sun is flatlining. For the sixth day in a row, solar activity remains very low. No sunspots are flaring, and the sun's X-ray output has flatlined. This is from spaceweather.com. Scientists say that if the solar flatlining continues, it may be an indication that we are about to enter into a mini ice age. So this is a quote from one of the scientists that is there with this science or spaceweather.com, sorry, who was also tied to vencorweather.com. They say there have been two notable historical periods with decades-long episodes of low solar activity. The first period is known as the Maunder Minimum, named after the solar astronomer Edward Maunder, and it lasted from around 1645 to 1715. The second one is referred to as the Dalton Minimum, named for the English meteorologist John Dalton, and it lasted from about 1790 to 1830. Both of these historical periods coincided with below-normal global temperatures in an era now referred to by many as the Little Ice Age. If this trend continues for the next couple of cycles, then there would likely be more talk of another grand minimum for the sun. So do you see, guys, this is tied to exactly what I've been saying for a long time, that the climate change that's going on, which is occurring, no one can deny that climate change is going on, but the climate change is not being driven by mankind. It is being driven by things that are outside of our control, like the sun, for instance. And nobody really pays attention to that. The solar science or the climate people, the climate change people, global warming people, will try to say that the problem is entirely man-made and that we're all at fault for it because we're driving SUVs and cows are farting. But we don't pay attention to the fact that the sun has been going through a massive problem with its cycling lately. I mean, what was it in 2011, 2012, we were supposed to have our last solar maximum. And now we're having the lowest minimum that we've seen in over a century and so on and so forth. The sun has a massive effect on Earth's weather. You can't deny that. And people that try to ignore that in favor of saying that it's mankind that is at fault for this really are doing a disservice, and it's obvious that they have an agenda behind what they're doing. So this story, like a story like this, where it's talking about the fact that the sun is having this problem, that we may actually be entering into a new ice age, is something that's very important to pay attention to. It really is. This is showing how mankind is not doing the damage that they're saying that we're doing. Now, yes, we might be having some sort of impact on things. We might not be making it better. And we're certainly not helping things by doing the chemtrailing. That's for damn sure. But the sun is the main driving factor in the weather that happens, not just on our planet, but on the whole solar system, right? I mean, that's why we're seeing the weather patterns change, at least according to scientists, on all of the planets, not just here on Earth. It's not just your carbon footprint that's causing the problem here. So I wanted to make sure to tell you guys that one. You can go to my show notes for this show, which will be at openeyesnetwork.com/OE077, sorry, to find the links for this news story along with all the other ones that I have. And you'll see the graphings that they have there, all the data that they've made available for people to look at on that article. And it's really interesting. You'll see that the fact is that, yes, there have been all of these different changes that are occurring, and they do seem to be directly tied to the cycles that are going on the sun, which is a duh situation, right? I mean, duh. Who'd have thunk that the big ball of burning gas that heats up the entire planet could be maybe partially responsible for weather changes here on the planet? Oh my God, what a shock, right? But people don't pay attention to these things. They just listen to Al Gore telling you that there's an inconvenient truth. The inconvenient truth is that there was an inconvenient lie being told. That's what the inconvenient truth is. They're wrong. They're just flat out wrong. I've told you before, in previous episodes, the fact that global climate people, scientists, have come forward over the years saying one thing after another that are contradictory statements, and throughout all of it, they've been wrong on every single one of them. You know, in the 1970s, they said that global warming would cause the sea levels to rise to the points where there'd be no cities on any of the coasts by the year 2000. And yet, what year are we in? That kind of crap hasn't happened. You know, I mean, they said that in 2007, they said there'd be less hurricanes. And then in 2012, they said there'd be more hurricanes. And it's just, it's ridiculous. They flip-flop on a constant basis. They don't know what they're talking about. And they're trying to think that they can get away with telling us one thing after another just because they have the lab coats and the names and their numbers, or the letters and their numbers behind their names, and that we're supposed to listen to this and believe everything that they tell us because, oh, they've done the research. Well, their research has been wrong. They have come forward with lie after lie. So why should we believe them when they're known liars? It's like Obama. He's a known liar, and yet people still expect that when he says something, we're supposed to believe it. Well, this person has lied to us over and over and over again, so why should we believe a word that comes out of his mouth? You see, that's how it goes. If someone tells you a lie, and it was an intentional lie, and they've been busted with it, you can't trust anything that they say again. You just can't, because you can't know whether or not what they're telling you is a lie or is a truth. And they'll use that against us every time. So it comes to that with the whole climate crap as well. They've lied on a constant basis about it all. And by the time all is said and done, they've been proven to have fudged the data. They've been proven to make errors after errors, and so on and so forth. And we're supposed to believe them? We're supposed to pay attention to what they say? I can't. I can't. That's just me, maybe, but that's how I think. If somebody lies to me, I can't believe anything that they say again. So when you guys look at this article, you can see all the graphs that they have on there showing how some of the activity has been going on, and it really has been a big problem. Some childhood vaccines, including the one against rubella, which is part of the MMR vaccine given to millions of children worldwide for measles, mumps, and rubella, is cultured in WI38 human diploid lung fibroblasts, according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's fact sheet on the vaccine's ingredients. Merck, the vaccine's manufacturer, acknowledged that those cells were originally obtained from an electively aborted fetus. They were used to start a cell line, which is a cell multiplied over and over again, to produce cells that are of a consistent genetic makeup. The WI38 cell line is used as a culture to grow live viruses that are used in vaccines. Other common vaccines, including those for chickenpox, hepatitis, and rabies, are also propagated in cells originating from legally aborted human fetuses, according to the FDA. Quoting Dr. Teresa Deischer on this subject, vaccines with fetal cells such as measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, and hepatitis A are not only morally problematic, but also bring other issues to mind as well. Well, do you think so? I mean, to me, okay, well, you know my stance as far as vaccines are concerned. I think that we can get away from vaccines. Listen to any of my episodes, you can hear me talking about it. The fact that they're admitting flat out that the vaccines are derived with products that are from aborted fetuses, it does cause a lot of moral objectivity to take place, right? So for me, I really don't care for the idea that a vaccine that's going into my body is injecting into me cells from an aborted fetus. Maybe it's just me. Maybe that's just something that comes to my mind, and I might be wrong on that thinking, but I don't think so. I mean, to me, I can't see the reasoning for that, you know? I mean, whatever your stance is as far as abortion is concerned, whatever, that's up to you. That's your own conscience that has to deal with that subject. But whether you're for or against abortion, I think that using aborted fetal cells in vaccines is a mistake. I think that there is something really ethically wrong with that idea. I really do. It's kind of that way with stem cells as well, but that's just me. And I don't disparage or I don't down people if they object to vaccines on a religious basis because of that reason. I really don't. If it, would I think differently if it was a matter of it being a baby that, died by miscarriage, or if it was, something along those lines? Well, that might be a little bit of a different thought, but again, that's not happening. And the fact that the scientists do this kind of thing as a matter of course, it disturbs me. It disturbs me greatly. And I guess I just wanted to bring this to your attention to see what your thoughts are on it and to see what your reactions are to it, because you might not know about this portion of things when it comes to vaccines. So again, if you go to openeyesnetwork.com/OE077, you'll be able to see the link to this article and some of the other information that it contains. There is quite a bit more. It's problematic to say the least, but again, it's something that should be known and understood, because nobody really knows this. This is something that's not really talked about. And it's disturbing. It really is. With all the other problems that go on as far as vaccines are concerned, this just adds another big brick onto the fire to me. President Obama is daring Republicans to vote on whether or not his executive actions are legal. Discussing opposition to his executive amnesty orders at an immigration town hall on Wednesday, Obama said that he would veto the vote because his actions are the right thing to do. A quote from Obama: "So in the short term, if Mr. McConnell, the leader of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, want to have a vote on whether what I'm doing is legal or not, they can have that vote. I will veto that vote. I will veto that vote because I'm absolutely confident that what we're doing is the right thing to do." Obama argued that he has merely expanded my authorities, not broken any laws. Another quote from him, what we've done is we've expanded our authorities under executive action and procedural discretion as far as we can, legally, under the existing statutes and the existing laws. And so now the question is, how can we get a law passed? Well, I've brought you the information before about how the Supreme Court is going to be hearing within the next couple of months whether or not Obama is to be considered above the law when it comes to enacting any of his executive orders or his executive actions. And I'm expecting actually that they are going to agree that he is above the law or is considered to be above the law when it comes to the way that he deals with the different actions that are taken as a president, not just Obama, but any president. I'm expecting it because that's kind of how the Supreme Court has been leaning. They have been leaning towards doing this type of thing for a while. If you think about it, just a couple of months ago, they basically said that in spite of the 1960s ruling that ignorance of the law is no excuse, police officers are exempted from that particular law. They've also basically, I'm over the past few months, if listen back to some of my shows and you'll hear some of the really insane things that the Supreme Court has been coming out with. It's disturbing. It really is. And so now we have Obama just coming out right in their faces and saying, you've tried to do something to stop me and I'll veto it because I have the ability to do so. And I don't give a damn what you say. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, whether you like it or not, and whether the American people like it or not. And I mean, look, they came out and said that because of this amnesty, if an illegal wants to file taxes, they can file taxes and they'll get up to $35,000 back on their taxes. $35,000 back on their taxes for an illegal frickin' citizen. How many of you out there had to pay taxes this year? How many of you had to mail off your taxes after you got them done here after the first of the year? How many of you guys had to go through that and spend out more money that you don't have to pay your taxes, to do the right thing, only to then have it turn around and go to illegals, people who are here as criminals, getting your money? $35,000 they can get back in taxes. This is sick. This is absolutely disgusting. And why people are not out in the damn streets right now screaming about this just really gets my goat, man. It really does. Why are people not paying attention to this stuff? Why are people not paying attention to all of this stuff that they are doing right now to us? But no, most of America will pay attention to their video games. They'll pay attention to their football games. They'll pay attention to just going to work, coming home, drinking their beer, and going to bed. That's all that they do. They don't care what else happens. Our country is in a lot of trouble. Our country is not only in a lot of trouble, it's been in a lot of trouble for a really long time. And I want to, after I come back from this break, because I need to take one, I want to talk about some of the other issues that are going on right now in relation to this country and the insanity that's happening. And hopefully we can come forward with an understanding of things that can be done by the time that you're done listening to this show. So stick around with us, guys. We'll be back in just a few minutes after this break.
Fear. Why aren't you afraid? Fear it all.
You are not afraid. There must be something wrong with you. You're a conspiracy theorist.
Here, have some drugs.
You're laughing too much. Here, we have this drug developed that actually stops you from laughing.
Oh, there's side effects?
Well, here, have some more drugs to counter those side effects. Now, don't worry, that side effect drug itself might kill you or make you bleed from your anus, but that's okay. Now you're normal. Now you're conforming. Good little minion. You will do well in the new world that we're creating. Oh, you don't like that thought? Here, have some more. Oh, this one is waking up a little bit. Here, watch Nicki Minaj's new Anaconda video. It's totally original except for all of the parts that have been rehashed from other songs from before. Watch the video. She's shaking her butt. Isn't that enticing? Oh, now you can join the other 250 million people that have watched this video in the past 2 weeks since it was released. Do you see? They love to distract, to pull you away from the deeper thoughts, from the things that they know would end them in a heartbeat. They don't want us to know these things. They've been doing it to us since the beginning.
The Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is deeply devoted to you, the listener. We feel it is necessary to bring you all of the information that you can use in your life. Each and every day, you will find something to listen to here. And whether you come away from the shows informed, inspired, or entertained, it is our passion. We don't bow to corporations, and we don't have handlers to tell us what not to talk about. We bring you everything. Late Night in the Midlands, however, is fully listener supported. We need your help to stay on the air and to make sure that we get the bills paid. We need your help to keep the truth alive. If you feel that you have gotten anything out of Late Night in the Midlands, we would appreciate your support. You can become a subscriber and help us out on a monthly basis, or if you'd like, a one-time donation is fully appreciated as well. Every year, the average household in America spends over $3,000 on entertainment alone. If you could help us with just a tiny fraction of that amount, you would make all of the difference. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you, and as always, keep yourself informed.
I'm Joni Ernst. I grew up castrating hogs on an Iowa farm.
In 2008, I fell in love.
I will not even go to the strip clubs anymore. Wake the f*** up.
Hi, I'm Bob. I am running.
Other signs of erectile dysfunction may include extreme skin discoloration.
I know black folks have had a hard time with slavery, and the government was in on it, and the government's in on it again.
Smart, handsome, charming, articulate.
If you are the sexual predator and sociopath who murdered my sister Lynette, and you come to my front door to do harm to my girls, I'm going to use my Glock to blow your balls off.
If you have a boner lasting longer than 23 years, seek immediate medical attention.
But by 2012, our relationship was in trouble. But I stuck with him because he promised he'd be better. He's great at promises.
I changed my name to cover my past, to cover my bankruptcy.
Keep your plan.
Tell Senator Pryor to stop parroting Obama.
You can keep it.
820,000 of our tax dollars were spent studying how monkeys respond to unfairness.
I'll never pay down what he spent.
Won't let them in, won't let them see that I'm a phony radio disc jockey.
I know I'm stuck with Barack for 2 more years.
And how they act while on cocaine.
Enough of these political ads, right?
So when I get to Washington, I'll stand up to the big spenders.
You vote for Texas. You don't stab her in the back by voting for cloture on Obamacare.
Mitch McConnell wants you to think I'm Barack Obama.
But trying to distract me with this war on women?
We've all heard the one about pigs squealing. But when Joni Ernst had the chance to do something in Iowa, we didn't hear a peep.
Danny go, Danny go, I can't lie to you anymore. That's my name, Danny, go. And I've got lies to answer for, because Danny don't care what you're going to say. Let my lies rage on. Lying never bothered me anyway.
We have a lot of stuff going on right now, don't we? We have a lot of things that are happening in America as well as across the world. But especially here in America, they are really starting to push in a big way. And of course, they'll take advantage of any crisis that they can. They'll take advantage of any crack that they can find in order to get that much more control over you and me, to get that much more control over our children, over our children's children, to suck away every bit of resources that we have, to take every bit of freedom that has been granted to us away. It, on and on and on. We've got right now in America the whole net neutrality issue happening. I was talking to you guys about this a long time ago. You can go back into my archives and you'll see it. You'll hear the thoughts that I had in regards to it. You'll hear that I warned people that if they went through with this kind of regulation, that we are going to be in a lot of trouble. On the surface of things, it looks good. You know, the FCC, they passed the regulations on a vote of 3-2. This is a non-elected commission. In other words, you and I had nothing to say or nothing involved in the decision about the greatest piece of tool that we have, perhaps in all of human history, at our fingertips, the internet. This thing is so powerful that it has the potential to change humanity into something amazing. And they're doing everything that they can to gain as much control over it as they possibly can, because it got out of their control. It started in their control, and it got out of their control very quickly. You know, I was around years ago, back in, going back in my youth, going back into the mid-80s, I used to run what was called a bulletin board system, or a bulletin board service. I ran it on my old Commodore 64. It was called the Last Chance Cafe. And I had a great time running it. I was using it as a platform to be able to try to inform people of the things that I saw going on. And people would call in. They would, back in those days, they would use their slow modems to do it. This was back during the days of 300 baud, in fact, was when I started my website, when I started my BBS up. And people could come and interact with me as well as all the other users that were there. And it was an amazing experience. It was something really wonderful. A lot of information was exchanged. A lot of knowledge was gained. And it was a great thing. And this was the time period before the internet came around. And even that was something that was very powerful. It was something that was very good at bringing people together in a way that had never happened before. People could be free to exchange any idea that they wanted to talk about. Nothing was hidden. Nothing. If you wanted to go to a bulletin board system that had the focus on aliens and UFOs, you could go to a bulletin board system that had the focus on aliens and UFOs. You didn't have to go to some little back hills kind of a meeting place and gather together and hope no one heard you or saw you or anything like that. You could do this from the comfort of your own living room on a computer and just hook up with other people and really exchange everything that you wanted to talk about. And it was a great experience. It was something wonderful. While technology changed and along came the internet, and it started to flourish in a big way, just like those bulletin board systems of my younger days were, here you had the opportunity to, again, exchange information with people that you would never have had the opportunity to meet, that you would never have had the opportunity to know. And it was a great thing. But it started to get out of the government's control. It started to get big. It started to come into people's consciousnesses that this was something actually really, really cool and really useful. And of course, then the corporations started to get aboard of it and, you know, get on board with it. And that was the kind of the beginning of the downfall of the internet. And so now, well, up until basically this time period right here, especially here in America, but in many other places throughout the world, the internet is essentially a free place to exchange whatever it is that you want to talk about, and no one can really stop you. No one can really halt your activities of doing whatever it is that you're going to do, as long as it's not quote-unquote illegal to do so. Well, then yesterday, the FCC passes this new regulations that make the internet subservient to the Title II regulations. On the surface, they make it look like it's a good thing. They make it look like, hey, this is a great idea, and we have needed this for a long time, and so on and so forth. We now have a free and neutral internet so that no one can pay or no one can charge you more money than they were charging before. No one can slow down or speed up your websites and all of that stuff. And that, yes, is a good thing. That is a very good thing. because the internet should be free and it should be open and no one should be restricted from anything that occurs on it. The problem with the regulations that have been passed, well, the biggest problem with it is that it's 332 pages worth of regulation that nobody has a clue what it says. They've said that, yes, this is passed, and yes, we're going to put it under Title II regulations. But beyond that, nobody has a damn clue what it's all about. Nobody has a damn clue what's in it or what it means for the future of the internet. So the fact that people are touting this as a victory when you don't have a clue what's in it is a big problem. It's a big issue. Obamacare did the same thing. You had this legislation that was this massive falderal of a piece of garbage that they rammed through with the idea that, oh, well, we'll pass it and then we'll see what's in it. In order to see what's in it, we have to pass it. Thank you, Nazi piece of crap, Pelosi. So now we have ObamaNet. That's what it comes down to. And this is a problem. Because you see the issues that are going on with Obamacare. You see all the issues that are going on since they passed that piece of junk garbage that they foisted upon all of us. You see that people are paying more for what they're receiving. They're receiving less than they received before. People are getting dropped left and right. And people are now paying fines for something that should never have been fined. We're being forced to purchase something. We're being forced by law to purchase something. And that is so far beyond wrong that it's ridiculous. But nobody seems to pay attention to that. And if you don't think that something like that is going to happen with this whole net neutrality stuff, you're wrong. I have an article that I ran across that I wanted to read to you guys, at least part of it, because this does start to go into some of the issues that we're going to see very shortly. This is actually from Fox News. I don't care if you're using them as a source, but it does lay out what I'm trying to say here, at least reasonably. The two Republican FCC commissioners, out of a total of five, know exactly how important this new plan really is. Commissioner Ajit Pai has called the new FCC plan a massive shift in favor of government control of the internet. Everything from your wireless service plan to your wireline connection at home. These new rules would not only affect your services, it would also give FCC regulators the power to decide what content on the internet was quote-unquote just and reasonable. Commissioner Tom Wheeler makes the absurd comment that the FCC would never use those powers. Yeah, because they never do that, right? They never use the powers that are given to them, ever, under any circumstances. They're kind and gentle souls, and they're only looking out for our best interests, right? But in a February 4th issue of Wired, he already hints at ways that bureaucrats could start dictating what they view as quote-unquote threats on the internet. This is a quote from Wheeler here. My proposal includes a general conduct rule that can be used to stop new and novel threats to the internet. This means the action that we take will be strong enough and flexible enough not only to deal with the realities of today, but also to establish ground rules for the as yet unimagined. In other words, they want to establish new rules and regulations for stuff that hasn't even been imagined yet. Equally galling is the process by which this government takeover is happening. The 332 pages of new FCC rules have been held in secret, and even after Thursday's vote, they are not being released. So, again, they say that they are enacting new powers that they are going to be able to use to take care of any new threats that come along to the internet. That they are not going to use those rules. Well, then why put them there to begin with? If you're never going to use them, then why put them there? They put them there because they're going to use them. And you can't deny it. Again, look at history. And again, why I talk about history is because of things like this. If a government entity gains new power, they are going to use that power. It's Spider-Man. Power corrupts, and absolute power absolutely corrupts. You know, corrupts absolutely. It's obvious that they are going to use whatever powers they've given themselves, and no one is going to be able to stop them. No one is going to be able to do anything about it because these people are supposedly, quote unquote, above the law, like I was explaining earlier. This is a problem. Okay, so here's one potential that I can see happening. And this is something that's been talked about already, not only in my show, but in other shows as well. But this is important to get an understanding of. One of the things that they can do with this is they can make it so that anybody who wants to broadcast anything over the internet has to be licensed to do so, just like with AM and FM radio stations. You will have to be licensed in order to be able to broadcast anything over the internet. So in other words, a show like mine, or a show like Michael Vera's, the Late Night in the Midlands show, or a show like Ryan Gable's, The Secret Teachings, or Riscala's Red Pill Reality Show, any of these shows that are deemed to be a threat to the government or a threat to the internet can be stopped instantly, gone. And there's nothing that any of us can say or do about it. That's one of the big problems with this regulation. People are touting it as internet freedom, but it is anything but. The education system does not educate, the justice system is not just, and the internet is not free under a free internet agenda. This is a world of opposites, people. So it's not something that is a good. This is not something that is a decent thing that they have done. Okay? The only good thing that has come out of it is the fact that the ISPs are not going to be able to charge people on a tiered basis. But they could have just said that and let it go. They could have just enacted something like that and just said, there, that's it. Now that regulation is there. That's all that's needed. The rest of the internet is free to do whatever it is that it's going to do. It's a free market, and people are going to be able to go to the websites and support the websites that they want to support by giving them advertising or giving them funds or donations or whatever. And if they die, then they die because the people were not interested in hearing it, or the people were not interested in supporting it. And that's all. That's a free market system. Okay, but the fact that they're doing this, the fact that they're going out of their way to regulate everything under their control, tells you that there is a big freaking problem with this thing. China has what's called the Great Firewall, where basically anything that the Chinese government does not want the people to see on the internet is not seen on the internet. The people do not have access to it. If they try to go to a website that is, let's say, for instance, and I think actually this is a good example because I think this one is a reality, but if they want to go to something like the Drudge Report, they would not be able to get to it because the Drudge Report will not be allowed into the internet backbone that goes into China. It's just, it's dead space. It'll come back with a server error or a server not found. It's just gone. And that exact same thing can happen here with this regulation that they're putting into place. That exact same thing can occur. Pay attention to what was said in that article that I just read off. The quote from the guy who wrote this himself, or who was the proponent for it, Tom Wheeler. "My proposal includes a general conduct rule that can be used to stop new and novel threats to the internet." Basically, what he's saying there is that anything that they deem to be a threat is gone, is done. It's bye-bye. And that includes things that actually reveal the truths about the things that are, that the government is doing. So again, a website like, let's say, Drudge Report, gone. You know, they reveal articles on there. That they're an article aggregator, basically. They point to the articles that are out there that that they run across that speak about certain topics and that sort of thing. So a website like that, gone. A website like mine, gone. A website like Michael's, latenightinthemidlands.com, gone. I'm frustrated here, guys, and I'm not saying it in my voice. I'm sure you guys can notice that I'm not ranting out loud because I'm trying to remain calm so I don't blow people's eardrums out. But I'm very, very freaking pissed off about all of this. I really am. This is not a good situation. This is not something that is of the benefit to we the people. This is a very, very bad thing. I find the timing funny that right after this is passed, immediately afterwards, the first thing that Obama does is comes forward and says, "I'm going to write an executive action that is going to ban AR-15 ammunition." You know, the 223. That he's going to ban the ammunition. Comes out and says it right after this crap gets passed. I think Michael Vera has a great point when he said it on his show, on Wednesday night on The Last Frequency when I was on as a guest. He said that the first thing that they're going to do is take over the internet, and the second thing they're going to do is come for the guns and look at exactly what happens. He was absolutely right. He was absolutely right. The first thing that they did, not even 12 hours passed between the time that they put forward this regulation saying that they're going to control the internet from now on, not even 12 hours passes before Obama comes out and says, "I'm writing an executive action to ban AR-15 ammo." Don't look at that and think, you know, you can't look at that and think that the timing of that was not perfect, that the timing of that was not intentional. So exactly what he said was going to end up happening ended up happening. Good job, Michael. I'm serious. That was an awesome call. This is a horrible situation, people. They could have just said, "Here's the regulation. ISPs cannot charge people or cannot charge other corporations to allow them to go faster while having everybody else being at a different speed. That all websites, no matter what, are at the full amount of the bandwidth that's available to the customer in the tier that they pay for or whatever. And that's it. That's all. That's all that's needed. That's all that was needed." But the fact that they had to take 332 pages worth of regulation to say that, you know, there's an issue. And the fact that they have not revealed what's in it yet is a big issue as well. Why did Wheeler get called before Congress and refuse to testify? Almost cussed there. The guy should be sitting in prison right now for contempt of Congress. For refusing to testify. If you or I were called before Congress to testify on something and we said, "Nope, not going to do it," you and me would be sitting in jail right now. rotting. But this guy with impunity just says, nope, screw you guys. I'm going home. Sorry, quoting South Park there. Screw you guys. I'm going home. He should be sitting in jail right now, not celebrating the fact that his bill or his regulations got passed. This is a bad situation, people. He didn't testify for a reason. He didn't testify because then it would come out in public what exactly is in this regulations, and people would have crapped bricks over it before the bill got a chance to pass or before the regulations got a chance to pass. Sorry, I keep calling it a law, and I have to be careful of that because it's not. It's just regulations. And my hope is that it's going to get fought in the courts. That's my hope. But the way that the courts have been acting lately, I don't expect that anything good is going to come out of that either. My brother Joe, we were talking about this earlier today yesterday when the bill got passed. And he said, well, this is going to get fought in the courts and it's going to be rejected. And I'm like, no, it's not, because look at the things that the courts have done lately. They're not going to reject this. I don't see it happening. This is too much of a good thing for the government at this point. They're not going to let that happen. I'm very concerned, not just for you and me, not just for the fact that I do this as my passion. It's not just for me. It's not just for you. It's for my kids. I've got two kids sitting here, and I've got one that lives elsewhere. Okay. My adult child. I'm scared for my kids because they're the ones that are going to be impacted the most by this. We've had the chance as adults here. You and me have had the chance to experience the freedom that the internet can bring. You and I have had the chance to experience the enlightenment that could come from having a free and open internet and an exchange of ideas. What is going to happen now is it's going to enter into essentially a digital dark age. That's what I see happening. A digital dark age. This is the burning of the Library of Alexandria. It's the cutting off of information is what they're looking to do. And you know this. You know this. This is what they've been trying to do for a really long time. Look at a couple of years ago when they tried to pass regulations that would force people like me, who could go out and get a press pass because we are broadcasters. We could get a press pass and go get access to things that you know, press people can go to, you know, press events and that sort of thing. And they were trying to make it so that anybody who would want to do that kind of thing would have to be acceptable by the government in order to get their press passes. In other words, that only those who are deemed worthy or deemed appropriate would be allowed to be the official press. And thankfully, that didn't go through. But you can see this is kind of the offshoot of it. You look at the whole SOPA and PIPA thing, and it is, this is that. It really is. This is that. Only instead of it being a law that was passed by Congress or rejected by Congress, this was done by an unelected commission that you and I have no control over, have no say in, and no ability to say, stop. We don't want this. And do you really think that we really need, I mean, even regardless of all of these other things, do you really think that we need to have yet more regulations on stuff? We already deal with 450,000 different laws and regulations that are on the books just on a federal level, let alone now this next 332 pages worth of junk that's getting added. This is a bad situation, guys. It really, really is. And I'm, like I said, I am very concerned for my kids because, and your kids and my grandkids that aren't even born yet, because they're never going to experience a free and open exchange of ideas, a free and open exchange on the internet where you can connect up to anybody, anywhere, at any time and be able to say, you know what, you're right. Or you know what, you're wrong. Hey, look at this. Learn this. Hey, look at this. How's this? It's a wonderful thing. The internet is the most powerful and potent tool to bring us into a new level of civilization. And we've seen a lot of things happen because of the internet. We've seen a lot of things occur because the internet has been there. But now we're going to be left probably with Fox News being the official news source. We're going to be left with CNN being the official news source. And websites like mine, server not found. 502 error, 401 error, whatever. I can see it happening. You know, I can see that's what they're trying to do down the pipeline. Now, granted, all of this net neutrality thing, all of this new regulations that they're putting into place, it's not going to start taking effect until probably at least the summertime. At least that's the talk. That's the patter on the street. And that the full amount of the regulations probably aren't going to be in place until after the next president gets put into place. Notice I didn't say elected. So we have time. We have time to see what's going to be happening, and maybe there's going to be something that can be done against it. But, you know, I'm at the point that revolution calling, that's what it comes down to. We've been saying it for a long time. I know I have been saying it for a long time that people need to get out and start raising some hell about all of the stuff that we're seeing. And it's time to with this. We're in a lot of trouble. And it really needs to stop. So that's my take on net neutrality. That's my take on this whole issue. I want people to understand that I'm not just trying to fearmonger, and I'm not just trying to doom and gloom. There are things that we can do to stop this. There are things that we can do to change this, but we need to do them. We need to stop sitting on our butts and begging for some savior to come along and help us. Get off your butt and do something. Because nobody else is going to do it for you. I don't know, guys. I'm not trying to fearmonger and I'm not trying to doom and gloom here, but this is a bad situation. This is a really bad situation, and we got to do something about it. Got to. Guys, I'm going to take a break here real quick. When we come back, I am going to go into the topic of living simply, which is the main topic for the evening. And I'm not sorry that I monologued for a while there on the whole net neutrality issue, but I needed to get my viewpoints out on it and hope that you guys heard it. And I'm not going to, this is not the only time that I'm going to speak about it. I will speak about it again in the future, but I wanted to at least lay out the baseline of where I'm coming from with it all so that we can kind of progress forward from here. So, again, when we come back, we'll talk about living simply. We'll go into some of the stuff with the debt system and some of the ideas that I have as far as ways to live a little better, I guess you could say. So hang around. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
The L&M Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an L&M subscriber can be found at the top of LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of LateNightInTheMidlands.com and help us help you.
TROLLS. This is a terrible new disorder being diagnosed every day. Victims of this disease have been found in psychologists, scientists, doctors, other people with letters and numbers behind their names, and anyone else who is in the world specifically to cause trouble. It stands for Totalitarian Regime Orchestrating Laughable Liar Syndrome, and is a terrible burden on anyone around those that have been diagnosed with this disease. Symptoms may include debunking all truths, diversion tactics, divisive talk, and flame war baiting, COINTELPRO tactics and maneuvers, and making rude and obnoxious comments, even where such things are not warranted. You can help cure the problem by opening your eyes to the facts, speaking about this disorder to anyone you know, and not allowing their disease to influence your life. If you or someone you know has been diagnosed with TROLLS, please seek immediate assistance by going to LateNightInTheMidlands.com and listening to all of the shows that are available. Only you can prevent TROLLS. This message brought to you by IRA, the Independently Reporting Association. Thank you for your support. Open Eyes looks for the truth in all things, no matter where it may lead. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters are bringing to this world, or aliens and UFOs, no subject is taboo or off-limits. Listen to Open Eyes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on the L&M Network at LateNightInTheMidlands.com or OpenEyesNetwork.com, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes.
To hide the truth once you know it makes you think that you are better than everyone else. It makes you into the type of person who says, "Ooh, I have a secret," but you're not ready to hear it yet. However, for $39.95, I'll let you in on the secret. You'll lead the people to the promised land for the cheap price of 3 easy payments of 1/3 of their soul apiece.
I cannot sing like you, but I didn't. I just wanted to show my appreciation.
Spend.
I've been spending money with spend.
We spent too much.
Spend
a little more. Spending. Spending so much. Spending
a lot.
Spend that money.
Spend our tax dollars.
We spend $1 trillion at war.
To spend.
Spending money.
Spending.
That's money I can spend somewhere else.
Spending money to be spent on spending.
Spend millions of dollars to spend. Money has been spent on spending again.
Spending. more and more spending.
I'd like to spend it.
Try to win some money. We're going to have to spend unlimited money. Government spending's out of control, so we had to spend that. Spend a lot of money. Millions of dollars, and to spend more dollars than we're spending right now. You got money to spend? You're spending money.
Spend the money to spend on spending.
Government spends more.
Our government was spending your tax dollars.
Spending.
That's a lot of money.
Spending.
We need to spend.
Spend a lot.
Spends a huge amount of spending.
I want to spend a bunch of money.
Oh, yes, he certainly does want to spend that money. And that's, I think, a big part of this whole net neutrality stuff as well. If you think that they're doing it for altruistic reasons, you're wrong. There is a lot of profit to be made with all of it. I guarantee it, you're going to see that kind of stuff going on. Mr. O'Vomit, he loves to spend. That's all that he does. And it's just getting worse. It really is. So guys, welcome back to Open Eyes. My name is Ira. Thank you for sticking around through that break. And I thank you as well for sticking around and being patient with me as I got all of my information out regarding the net neutrality issue and some of the things that I'm seeing with it and the concerns that I have about it. I wanted to get into the idea of living simply. And spending wisely, I guess you could say. The monetary system that we have right now is really messed up. And if you've paid any kind of attention to the facts, if you know anything about how the monetary system here in the United States is set up, you know that it is set up as a debt-based system, that it functions on debt, and that it is, well, reliant upon debt. The more that people are in debt, the better the system is. And that's a really scary thing. You know, they spend exorbitant amounts of our money on the stupidest things. I've said before some of the things that I've run across as far as their idiotic spending is concerned, like $2.6 million going to Chinese prostitutes to teach them how to drink more responsibly. And if you think that that actually was what it was used on, you're wrong. $2.6 million were just spent on Chinese prostitutes, period. Nothing else needed to be going on with all of that. They've spent $1 million on finding out the sexual habits of the Japanese quail while it's on cocaine. I mean, these things are idiotic, and these things are used as a way for them to gather more resources to them and put us more in debt. We're in debt up to our grandchildren's eyeballs, essentially. I mean, I think the last statistic that I heard was that our grandchildren, like my grandchildren that are not even born yet, are basically over $56,000 in debt already, and they're not even here yet. That's how far our system has gone. And it's just being propped up by nothing, essentially. it's being propped up by faith. You know, if you want a real idea of the new religion, the fact is that the new religion is the money, and it takes a lot of faith to keep it in action. It really does. Anyways, so the idea of living simply is it's based on the idea of trying to get away from this debt-based system that we're in. We have to do what we can ourselves to stay away from debt as much as is possible. I know personally people that have multiple credit cards. They have like, I don't know, 6 or 7 credit cards that are sitting in their wallets or their purses, and they will use one credit card to pay off the monthly rates of the other credit cards, and then when that one gets filled up, they'll go out and they'll get another credit card to allow them to do it again and do it more. And they're literally in debt so far that they're never going to be able to get out of it. Never. There is no way that they're ever going to be able to get out of it. And they're just going to be going on this cycle over and over again. The fact is that if you have $20 in cash sitting in your pocket and you have no debt, you actually are wealthier than 80% of America. That is a really sad statistic. If you have 20 bucks in your pocket and no debt, you're more wealthy than 80% of all of the other Americans out there. So what does that mean? Well, you know, if you having no debt basically means that you have no mortgage, you have no credit card payments, you're not purchasing a car on a lease or whatever, just your monthly bills, and that's it. Yeah, that's not debt, that's your survival. So yeah, if you have no debt above your head, you're wealthy. You actually are a wealthy person. And that's really weird to think about, but it is the truth. We have a system that has been established that people can essentially keep spending way above their means and still be able to function, although it's just propped, you know, it's just propped up. It's not actually functioning. I've seen personally, just as an example, I've seen personally that people will have like a really nice brand new car, but they're living in the most trashiest heap of a house that you can imagine because they can't afford anything better. But they're driving around in a really nice car. Well, that is the height of stupidity. You know, it really is. What good does that do to be better than the Joneses when it comes to your car? But you're living in a house that has so many holes in it, and the roof has fallen down, and the windows are busted out, and it makes no sense. It makes zero sense to my mind. And hopefully to yours too. But that's the main idea that I come at all of this with, is that we are in so much trouble because of all of these debts that it's not just our government that is in debt, it's us as well. And we need to do something to remove ourselves from that. Our local economies are really badly hurting. Just as another example, most of the local economy is actually tied up in sending out to national corporations. So a good example would be Walmart comes into a local economy and all the mom and pop shops have to close up because they can't afford to stay in business because all the money is going to this corporate entity that's nationalized and actually international. But do you realize that if each of us spent $100 more per year on local shops, on locally owned stores and businesses, so you know your local eateries, instead of going to McDonald's to eat, you go to a local burger shop that's owned by a mom and pop kind of a thing, we would actually be adding upwards of $40 billion into local economies each year. I mean, that would just think about that. It just with each of us spending $100 locally more than we do right now, that's going to generate $40 billion into local economies, local owned businesses. That's going to create a ton of jobs. It's going to create a lot of income for like the local business people instead of these mega corporations, these huge franchises that don't give a crap about the local economy. That means nothing to them. They're concerned with their bottom line on a national level. Target stores just announced that they're closing a crap ton more of their stores, and so a lot of more people are going to be going out of jobs and on and on and on. They don't care about the local economy. They don't care about the businesses that were destroyed by them moving in and taking over things, basically. They move in, they rip money from the economy, the local economies, and then move on. And they're locusts, basically. That's what it comes down to. They're just gigantic corporate locusts. They will move into local economies, trash them, and then move on into the next local economy. And that's a sad fact, but it really is the truth. They don't care what happens locally. We get into this problem because we don't teach our children how to make huge decisions, I guess you could say, on what they're going to do with their money, with their funds. We don't teach them how to spend appropriately. We teach them that going into debt is the appropriate thing to do. We teach them that they go to college, they go to get this 4-year degree that's going to basically allow them to work at McDonald's and go into debt for the rest of their lives because of all the student loans that they're going to have. We don't teach them how to live frugally or how to live wisely. We throw them out into the wolves, and the wolves come in and pounce. That's what it comes down to. A great example as far as these giant corporations are concerned is that Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens said corporations have no conscience, no beliefs, no feelings, no thoughts, and no desires. He said this in his dissenting opinion on Citizens United versus the FEC. And that decision basically made it so that corporations would be able to be treated as citizens. So the corporations have more rights, basically, than the citizens do. And that is the truth. Look at what happens worldwide or, you know, around this country, and you'll see that that's exactly how it works. And we have no money for the elderly. We have no money for the sick or the poor or the veterans or bridges or schools or any of our other infrastructure that needs to be replaced, like our power structure, our roads, on and on and on. And yet we have billions and billions of dollars that we can send out to all of these other foreign countries in quote unquote foreign aid and spend billions of dollars on these black ops projects that are designed to do nothing more than to devastate the entire world. But we have no money available to actually help people. The fact is, if you have more than 7 days worth of food in your house, you can be deemed as a terrorist. It really is crazy. Another example, and this is something that comes to my mind when it comes to the idea that people rely on the government so much when it comes to the idea that, oh, well, if we get into trouble, the government is going to save us. They're going to do what they can to help us out. Well, look at Hurricane Katrina. That is a great example. They did nothing to help out there at all. Look at Detroit. Detroit is basically a wasteland. Why has the Fed not stepped up and done anything to help people out there? You see, it comes down to the idea that we have to help ourselves. We have to do what we can ourselves to prepare for the bad stuff that comes along. And I advocate having a lot of food on hand, water, on and on and on. I'm a big advocate of every week when you go out grocery shopping, buy a few cans extra of food and just store them in a storage closet or something somewhere. And that way, if something does happen to you, you have something on hand to help you out with it. A few years ago, we had a very bad weather system move through our area, and we had a major ice storm hit, and power was lost in basically the whole county. Well, actually, it was almost across all of northern Indiana during that time period. And so we lost power, for instance, for, it was 3 or 4 days, basically. And we did fine. We actually did very well for ourselves, even though we lived in a hunk of junk trailer and had to do what we could to heat it up and everything. But, you know, food-wise, we were fine because we had stored ahead of time things to help us get through in case things like that goes on, you know, in case crap. That's what Chris Rock calls insurance. And this is just a type of insurance, you know, it's the smart thing to do. So another thing that I advocate is the idea that not only is preparation important, but it's also important to do what you can in the here and now to live as simply as you can, to stay away from the debt system as much as you can. I mean, we live in America. There's no real way to get out of the debt system, quote unquote, altogether. You're still going to be subjected to it, at least in some ways, because you live here. But you can do what you can to make things as easy on yourself as you possibly can do. So I wanted to talk to you guys about a couple of ideas that you may have heard about, you may not have, but I wanted to speak to you about my experiences with them and some of the things that I've discovered with them. And hopefully you guys can walk away from this information with something new in mind that you yourself could do to help yourself get away from that debt system a little bit more. You know, just even a couple of degrees is better than nothing, right? That's what it comes down to. It's small changes, small steps. So when it comes to food and food production, you hear a lot of people talking about, well, you should start a garden. You know, a garden is a great idea. Grow your own food so that you don't have to be subjected to the GMO foods, so that you don't have to be subjected to all the pesticides and the herbicides and the fungicides and all of that kind of stuff. You know, there was actually a article that was just released a couple of days ago that scientists have basically discovered the reason for the colony collapse that's going on in the bee populations. And they basically have said that it's because of the pesticides and the fungicides that are being spread on all of the crops out there. So it does come down to the whole Roundup thing, Monsanto. Anyways, so the more that you can do to produce your own food, the better off you're going to be, because you're not going to have the subjection to that GMO foods, the pesticides and all that kind of stuff. You know where your food came from, and that's always a better step than to do it the way that you're doing it right now, basically. So yes, starting a garden, that is a great way to go. However, I wanted to talk to you guys about something else that is garden-like, but it actually is better than just standard gardening. And that subject would be aquaponics. Now, I don't know if you guys know about this or not, but I'll go ahead and explain the idea behind it here so that you guys can get a good handle on what all is involved with it. So aquaponics, it's the combination between hydroponics and aquaculture. In hydroponics, you have the idea of growing plants in a liquid or gelatin type of material that is free of dirt, is free of a growth medium per se. So no dirt, no stones, that sort of thing. There are problems when it comes to hydroponics. Hydroponics, the nutrients for the plants are added to the liquid base that the plants are growing in. Basically, a lot of PVC pipes and all of that kind of stuff, they'll pass the liquid medium around to basically allow the plants to get that nutrients from their root, or at their roots, basically, and the water is recycled as much as it can be. Well, the problem with hydroponics is that after a short period of time, that water becomes bad and it has to be dumped, and a new set of water has to replace it. So a lot of waste ends up going on with it, even though there is a lot of plant growth through this methodology. Now, aquaculture is the idea of growing fish in a farm situation. So big pools of water are holding different fish species. So let's say 100,000 gallons here is holding 10,000 catfish or whatever, and they're growing in there, and then they're harvested and slaughtered and sent out to different restaurants or the grocery stores or whatever. And that's a great thing. It works really well. It's been done for many years now, and the science behind it is very strong. However, again, you have the issue of the water gets foul after a very short period of time. The fish, when they are in the water, they are eating, and they are pooping, and they are exhaling out of their gills an ammonia type of a compound. And so the water has to be replaced very quickly, because if not, or filtered out very hard and replaced and all of that kind of stuff, because if not, then the fish will die because of the toxicity that's in the water. So again, there's a lot of waste that's involved with that method, just like there is with hydroponics. Now, aquaponics is the combination of these two things. Essentially, what you do is you set up a system where you have a fish tank, can be of any size. We are planning one this year, actually, that's a 300-gallon fish tank to do catfish in this year, inside of our greenhouse. And basically then you set up grow beds or just like plastic boxes, basically, that has a growth medium. So like stones, the smaller stones work really well, pea gravel, that sort of thing. Anything along those lines would work, as long as it's not dirt. And basically you add these stones into these beds, and you put your plants into these beds. You can put your seeds in there. You can put the sprouts, that kind of thing, into the growth medium there. And then what you do basically is you take the water from the fish tank and pump it up into the grow beds, which then fill up with that water, and then have that water dump back out into the fish tanks. What this does is it creates a small ecosystem, essentially. The water from the fish tank contains the ammonia. It contains the stuff that's toxic to the fish. That water gets brought up to the plants, to these grow beds. And in the grow beds, as a natural reaction, just out of the air, basically, on basically every surface that has some kind of ammonia exposure, a type of bacteria will grow that converts that ammonia into nitrites, which then forms another bacteria that will eat that and turn it into nitrates. And those are then consumed by the plants. And then that water basically is dumped back down into the fish tanks. So what ends up happening is it's a natural, complete ecosystem where the water is being filtered for the fish while at the same time feeding the plants. There are a lot of people out there that do this, and they've been able to do some really amazing growth with this type of methodology. And it doesn't take very much to do, really. If you go to YouTube, and if I'll have a couple of video actually examples on my show notes for this show, openeyesnetwork.com/OE077. Where you can see exactly how this is done and the ideas behind it. But it doesn't really take that much. It's just a kind of a series of PVC pipes with a pond pump is good enough to get the water from the fish tanks up into the grow beds and then back down into the fish tanks again. You kind of siphon it back down into the fish tanks once it gets up to a certain level in the grow beds. So by the time all is said and done, the plants are being fed a nutrient-rich water, constantly fed with it, and the fish are constantly cleaned with the water. And between the two, basically, your plants are going to grow at an exemplary rate. And the fish are going to grow really, really well as well. And you'll have your vegetables as well as fish to be able to consume at will. The lettuces, for instance, grow – well, any plant really will grow extremely well in this type of environment, in this type of situation. Lettuces, you could grow lettuces basically within like 30 days, and they're beautiful. They're huge. They're wonderful tasting, and you can just cut the leaves off individually and leave the roots and everything in the growth medium, and it will just keep continually regrowing basically. Any of you guys who have grown lettuces over the years, you know how it works. But anyways, by the time all is said and done, you are able to grow food super well. I mean, I can't exclaim enough about it. It really does work extremely well. And you can actually grow year round doing this if you put it into, let's say, a greenhouse. Even if you're in a cold environment, if you heat up the water for the fish tanks, that warm water still gets into the plants. And depending on the plant, there's a lot of plants that are out there that like to grow in the cold weather, like lettuces and that sort of thing. So you could, if you have a ways to keep your greenhouse at least somewhat warm, at least above freezing, you could have food growing year round. The nice thing is that as well with this system is that everything can be run off of solar power. Your water pumps can be run off of solar power. So you don't even have to be hooked up to a grid to be able to do this. And you can do this in any kind of climate. And it works really, 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 really well. I'm very impressed by it myself. And again, I kind of advocate to people about this because if you're going to grow in a garden and you have a greenhouse available, then why not set up a system like this and grow something even more? There's a project that goes on in, I think it's Philadelphia. This guy basically purchased an acre of land and he set up an aquaponic system on this acre of land. And he has people in the community come in and help out with it and all this kind of stuff. He kind of opens it up as a community project for people to get together with. And each year they pull out 1 million pounds of food every year, each and every year, just on this 1 acre of land. So can you imagine if you have, let's say, for example, I know there's a lot of people that are out there that listen to me that have a decent amount of acreage that they're just kind of sitting on and don't know exactly what to do with. It's just kind of sitting there going fallow. Well, if you could use that acreage to set up a system like this, just imagine how much food you would be growing. And imagine how much you would be able to help out your community with that food that you're growing. Help out your family with that food that you're growing. I mean, look at that. 1 acre of land, 1 million pounds of food every year. On 1 acre of land, they're able to pull out enough food. Well, not this project, but another project that I ran across, sorry. They're able to pull out enough food on, I believe it was 1/10 of an acre worth of land using an aquaponic system. They've got like basically a 20 by 20 greenhouse that they set up this system with. They're able to pull out essentially 30 side salads every day. And this is a family of four, pulling out 30 side salads worth of lettuce every day and vegetables, you know, as well as one fish meal every week on for four people on 1/10 of an acre of land. I mean, that's an amazing amount of food, and all of it is fresh and all of it is right there available anytime that you want, right there in your backyard, right? So if you have this huge yard and it's just sitting there and you're mowing it every damn day and you're sick of mowing it and on and on and on, why not set up something like this and help your family out and get that much further away from having to spend money on buying food that is unhealthy for you because it's full of pesticides, it's full of crud, and it's full of genetically modified material. Why subject yourself to that when you don't have to? And once you've got this kind of aquaponic system set up, for instance, it takes very little maintenance. You just go out to feed your fish and you go out and you pluck your plants whenever you want to have your food. That's all it comes down to. I mean, there's no weeds because it's not in the ground, you see. So the amount of weeds that you get in it are almost nil. It's kind of an enclosed space, you know, if you have it in a greenhouse, for instance. But you can do this just outdoors as well, if you so desire. You can grow anything in it. Strawberries, berries, lettuces, kale, and carrots, and you can even grow potatoes in it. Okay, so, I mean, check into this thing, guys, because it is something that is really, it's the future of farming. I think that if more farmers actually went on this route, they would see a vast increase in their profits because they would grow food faster, number one. They'd have less maintenance, number two. And they wouldn't have to worry about all the other crap that goes into trying to farm a huge amount of acreage, you see. So again, I'll put some of the videos that I know of that are really good examples of some aquaponic setups on my show notes for this show. And I kind of go into the systems a little bit for you guys there so that you can see examples of it and see just how easy it really is to do this kind of thing. And that will get you that much further off of the debt system, basically, which is what I'm trying to advocate in this episode, right? So another example of things that I wanted to give you guys before I have to go tonight is the idea of living smaller. Have you guys ever heard about something called tiny house, the tiny house movement that's out there? If you haven't, you really should check it out. You can go to, let's say, startpage.com and look at look for images of tiny houses. Now, a lot of people poo-poo the idea of a tiny house. They can't imagine living in a small space like what is given as examples of tiny houses. But the fact is that the smaller you live, the actual easier it is to live in a house that is small. Something that you wouldn't expect two people to be able to live in a let's say 120 or a 200 square foot house. You could actually do it really well if you downsized yourselves in a big way. How many clothes do you have sitting in your closet that you don't wear? That's one thing that you could get rid of. How many books do you have that you could transfer into an ebook kind of medium? And you get rid of that. On and on and on. There's a lot of different ways that you can do downsizing to make it easier to get into a smaller space. And the smaller you live, the more economically you live. The smaller of a quote-unquote footprint you have, the less you have to worry about trying to heat the place up, trying to keep the lights on, and so on and so forth. There are a lot of examples of some really cool tiny houses. And a lot of the idea with it is that a lot of the movement, they build them onto like trailers, and they'll build them up like they're kind of an RV type of a thing, but they're actually just a small house that's on wheels essentially. And again, if you search for some images, you'll find some really amazing examples of them. There are some awesome looking ones that are out there. And the idea with it basically is that it's not, like, if it's small enough, if it's less than basically 21 feet, it's totally legal to drive anywhere. And you can essentially take your house anywhere that you want to go. So if the economic situation in the area that you're currently in is not very good, well, you can pack your house up, put it on the back of your car or the back of your truck, and drive somewhere else and just plop yourself down wherever it is that you can go. So that's one idea. Another idea that I talk about a lot, and one that I actually would love to do myself, kind of like my ultimate goal or plan, is to find 10 acres somewhere in the South where the climate is somewhat warmer than what it is here, set up a nice amount of an aquaponic setup, and actually build like small homes out of cob. Cob is an old style of building things. That there's a lot of examples of cob that are still around from hundreds and hundreds of years ago. That basically you take sand, clay, and straw or something like that, and mix it all together and turn it into basically almost a cement type of thing. It's a very, very hard kind of a Play-Doh. But by the time that it dries, it turns into basically a stone substance. And so you can actually build an entire house out of this really, really quickly and really cheaply. I mean, you could build a house, for instance, that is... let's see. One example that I ran across, you could build a house that's about 1,000 square feet for about maybe $1,000 total for all the materials that you would need. So just imagine that, you know, 1,000 square foot home for about $1,000. You could find land, for instance, on eBay. People are selling land that's rough land, granted, but they're selling land that you can pick up for, you know, $20 a month or I'm sorry, $100 a month for like 10 acres worth of land that's on rough land. And you can develop that into something that's very livable. And that's just an example, a couple of examples for you guys of ways to basically bring yourselves to a point where you're living a lot simpler and therefore able to get away from the debt system at least a little bit. So remember, guys, one thing that I advocate is prepping prep, you know, the whole prepper lifestyle. I know a lot of people try to look down on that, but there really is nothing wrong with preparing for the worst and hoping for the best. You know, I mean, that's the way it comes down to. And if more people lived like that, there really would be a lot less trouble going on than what we see right now, because so many people are caught up in this debt way of living, and they're hurting from it. They're damned for it. And that really is a sad situation overall. So guys, with that, I am out of time. I don't want to be. I love talking about this stuff. I really do. I was really excited to bring you some of the information about aquaponics and the tiny houses and all of that kind of stuff. And I wanted to get into it a lot more, but then that net neutrality stuff came up and I really had to get into that with you guys. So if you want to go to the show notes for this show, which I'll have the links to everything that I talked about here, as well as some example videos of the aquaponics setups, and I'll put some as far as the tiny homes are concerned as well on there. You can go to openeyesnetwork.com/OE077. If you want to send me an email, which I welcome any and all communications from you guys, I really do. I want to hear from you guys about anything. I've gotten a lot of good comments on my shows so far, and I think maybe I'll do an episode about the responding to some of the emails that I've received here pretty soon. You can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you want to go to my Facebook or Twitter pages, those are at Open Eyes Network as well as Ira Robinson on both of those platforms. On Monday, I'm not sure what the topic will be yet, but I will let you know over the weekend, as I always do. I'll probably talk about something paranormal because I haven't talked about that for a little while. Be sure to stick around. Michael Vera will bring you the Late Night in the Midlands here in just a few minutes. And until next time, guys, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much for listening. Remember, tune in on Monday, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, latenightinthemidlands.com. We'll be right back.